turn on this mic.
All right. All right, can you all hear me? Okay, good. I just want to make sure that I point that on the other because you never know. Well, it's good to be here. I'm very honored to be here. Really quickly, I do live in Northwest Arkansas, Asylum Springs. I've been there for about 3 years, it'll be 4 years coming up in November. However, I was actually born in Illinois, Chicago. And then moved to Minnesota, and then eventually the Lord had led me down to Northwest Arkansas. But anyways, it's good to be here. It really is an honor to be here and to preach to you guys. I've been kind of thinking and wondering what to preach because I didn't know exactly what to talk about. And I'm going to be talking about biblical repentance. What is biblical repentance? I'm going to come at it from the angle of revival. Because I'm going to tell you something, folks. If there's anything that we need in this nation, it's revival. But more specifically, we need revival in our churches. Our churches are most of the American church is more deader than a doornail. And I'm going to tell you something. If those churches don't get their act right, this nation is going to fall and crumble and be destroyed because of the sins of the church have leaked in to the sins of this nation. Amen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer real quick. All right. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for today. Lord, thank you for the blessings, Lord, to being able to be here to preach. Lord, I pray, Lord, Lord, I'm not worthy to open your word. I'm not worthy to preach your word. Lord, I pray, Lord, you take, Lord, me, Lord, use my mouth. Give me the words to speak, Lord. I pray, Lord, that they would receive from you, Lord, not from me. Father, I do thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace and love. And I pray these things in your name, Lord. Amen. All right. So I'm going to start off. If you have your Bibles with you, this is actually not the starting. Well, it's not the verse I'll be preaching out of. Let's put it that way. But if you can quickly turn in your Bibles to Jonah chapter three. And I'm going to kind of use this to segue into my actual main message. So it might be kind of a long-winded introduction. So I do, if it is, I do apologize. But I want God to have his way. Amen. So Jonah chapter 3. We're going to read the whole chapter because it's only 10 verses. And it says this. It says, And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Okay, listen. If God tells you to preach something and tells you to do something, you do it. Because if you don't do it, I guarantee you, God is going to reroute you to where it will cause you to be obedient. See, that's what happened to Jonah. Jonah disobeyed, and guess what? He was in the belly of a whale for 3 days and three nights. And guess what? Jonah finally became obedient, didn't he? But you find out at the end of the chapter, he wasn't satisfied. I'm going to tell you something. That's sometimes our problem. When we expect God to do something and not our way, our flesh gets in the way of that. And we start getting mad and angry and upset. Okay? I'm going to tell you something. I'm just as susceptible as that as any of you. But we have to understand that God has our best interest in mind. And God will never mislead you, and his timing is as good and perfect as it ever will be. God is not late. He's always on time. Now, so Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the cities a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Let me tell you something. Jonah basically is saying there, you need to repent of your sins, Nineveh, or God is going to destroy you. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Why are we so ignorant into thinking that God won't destroy this nation? God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of the Sodomites in that land. I'm going to tell you something. We got Sodomites in this nation running amok. I just recently saw that Chicago had elected a sodomite mayor. Worse than the last mayor. I'm telling you what, if we don't repent as a church, as the churches repent, and as this nation, I'm going to tell you, God is going to rain fire and brimstone upon this nation, and I'm going to tell you something, it's going to be a lot worse than what Israel got. Amen? Alright. So, it says, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. You see right there, they responded to Jonah's message, didn't they? They immediately said, we don't want that to happen. We need to fast. We need to repent. Amen? And we're going to be getting into the definition of biblical repentance. What is biblical repentance? All right. Now, for word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink any water. Let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw that their works, that they turned from their wicked, from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Let me tell you something, folks. That right there is a definition of biblical repentance. Jonah preached the message. They responded to it. How? They forsake their sin. They turned away from it, and they turned to God. Most of the American churches need to do that. Our nation needs to do that. Amen? Now, turn with me to Proverbs. Chapter 28, verse 13. Proverbs 28, 13. This is the verse I'm going to be preaching out of tonight. Okay, Proverbs 28, 13. While you guys are turning there, I'm going to get a drink of water. All right. Praise the Lord. It says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Okay? He that covereth his own sin shall not prosper. You know what that means? That means that you try to cover your sin, which you cannot. You know why? Because your righteousness are as filthy rags. By the way, if your righteousness are as filthy rags, what makes us think that we can do things on our accord? Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Okay, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Confess and forsake. You could say, you could tell God you're sorry all you want till you're blue in the face, but if you don't forsake it, you're basically telling them you're not sorry. I'm going to tell you something. That's really hard to grasp. And I'm not afraid to preach hard. Amen. I'm not afraid to tell it as it is, because we need more preachers like that. Let's take Genesis 3 for an example, okay? Genesis chapter 3, what did Adam and Eve do? When they sinned, what did they do? They sewed fig leaves together to hide their covering. Let me tell you what that is. That is number one, trying to cover their own sin, which they can't do because they sinned. Number two, that's them by their own works trying to be righteous. God hates that. I'm going to tell you something. If anyone here who tries to do things by their flesh, thinking that they can have their own righteousness, you are mistaken. Because I'm going to tell you something. The righteousness that a believer has is not their own. It is the righteousness of Christ, which is something that we must be clothed in. It is by the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us and washes us from our sins. And many people don't understand that. In Genesis chapter 11, verse 4, it says, and they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Okay? Now, if you know the context of that, we see that they're trying to build a tower that may reach into heaven. You know what that is? That is them trying by their own way to get into heaven another way. Jesus doesn't like that. Okay? He doesn't like that. And by the way, that's the same thing when we try to cover our sin. Okay? I know that's tough, I'm telling you, we can't beat around the bush. John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. I didn't say that. Jesus Christ said that. I'm the messenger. And it's funny because you get people who get mad at you for preaching the truth. I'm going to tell you something. Don't be going at the messenger. If you don't like the preaching, tell God you don't like it. If the preacher said something that wasn't right, God will deal with him. But if the preacher said something right, God will deal with you. He'll deal with you accordingly. Amen? Now, in John chapter 10, verse 7, it says, then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. The door. One door. There's one Jesus Christ. There's one door. Jesus Christ is that door. Now, why do I point that out? I point that out because we cannot cover our own sin. If we try to cover our own sin, we're trying to get around what Jesus Christ did. And by the way, you know what happens when you try to cover your own sin? You steal from the glory of God. That's why Jesus said, if you find another way to try to get in the sheepfold, you are a thief and a robber. Why? Because Jesus is right what he said. Amen? Now, I want you to consider David. Okay? David, he committed adultery. And by the way, he murdered a man to try to cover up his adultery. He broke God's law. And by the way, that's Old Testament. And by the law, David should have been killed. But you know what? Nathan the prophet came to him and said, God hid, you sinned, but God hid your sin. You know what that means? That God forgave him of that sin, but he still had to suffer the consequences. And what was the consequence of that? Number one, the sword should not depart from his family. Number two, the child that Bathsheba bore died. And David had so much faith, he said, he can't come to me, but I'll go to him. Yeah. David, and by the way, even though David was a man after God's own heart, he had similar like passions that he was tempted by. Amen? So that shows you that we are saved by faith through grace. None of ourselves, lest any man should boast. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 14 through 15. It says, and it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retire ye from him that he may be smitten and die. He tried to cover it up. And guess what? He didn't prosper. God knew about it even before he even did it. See, you can run, but you can't hide from God. God knows your every thought before you ever think it. God knows, he knows the intents of your heart. He knows why you're really in ministry. He knows why, and he knows your motives, your true motives. See, you can deceive man, but you can't deceive God. Because God looks at the heart. Alright, so there are two things that we are going to take a look at tonight that qualify as true Bible repentance. Now, let me say this before I go on. We all here can agree that we need revival in our nation. We all need revival in our churches. Amen? But let me tell you something. You know what the key factor of revival is? Repentance. Amen. If there's no repentance, there's no salvation. If there's no repentance, there is no revival. And what makes me mad is you have all these so-called fake preachers that go around thinking that they won millions of souls. Yet that nation is still in sin. You want to know something? I think there's no repentance. There's one preacher, you probably may not know him, but his name is Reinhard Bonnke. He did these missionary works in Africa and claimed that he won all these millions of souls to the Lord. But here's the problem. Africa still has issues with witchcraft. Don't you think that if people were actually converted, they'd leave their sin? See, when you got preachers like that that say this, say stuff like that, and there's no result, I'm not going to believe them. You shouldn't either. By the way, as a matter of fact, I don't want you believing me. Don't take everything I say for truth. You take what I say and you match it with the Bible. If what I say does not match with the Bible, let God be true and every man a liar. So, with that said, let's take a look with confessing and forsaking. Okay? First part is confessing your sin. Okay? In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says this: if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is a wonderful promise to stand on. Just because we're born again doesn't necessarily mean we're not going to be sinless. We still have a flesh. We still have a sin nature. Or yes, we're born again. But if we fall short, we have that confidence that if we confess our sin, we won't just be forgiven of our sins, but we would also be cleansed of all our unrighteousness. It doesn't say some, it says all. Psalm chapter 32, verse 5. It says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. My question is there something in your life that you know you're guilty of that you haven't confessed? I'm going to tell you something. God will chasten His kids. If you want to know if you're saved tonight, if you sin, I'm going to tell you something. God's going to take the rod at you because I don't ever do that again. I've had that happen to me recently. I'm not going to get into it, but I made some assumptions that I shouldn't have. And oh boy, God took the rod and He got me real good and said, don't ever do that again. And I'll tell you what, God knows what He's doing. He's smart. Psalm 38:18, for I will declare mine iniquity, I will be sorry for my sin. Okay? When you sin and fall short, God's going to chasten you. What needs to happen is that you need to repent. Repentance is not a one-time thing. It's not, I'm going to say a prayer and repent and get saved and live like the devil. By the way, that's not true salvation. Salvation is a change of heart. Amen. It's a change from within. And by getting baptized, it is a profession of the change that has taken place within you by the power of the Holy Ghost. There are many, you know, when you have, okay, but yeah, we'll continue on. James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another. Let's stop right there. We're not Catholics. Doesn't say sins, does it? It says confess your faults. Now, here's why I say we're not Catholics. Because in the Catholic Church, they confess their sins to a priest that they call Father. Which, by the way, violates Scripture. Jesus said, you're not to call anyone Father. You only have one Father. Amen. Why should I go in a confessional and confess my sins to a priest? The Bible says confess your faults. That's different. You can go up to someone and say, well, I fell short. That's a fault. But you all don't need to know every jot and tittle of my sins, and I don't need to know yours. That's between you and God. Okay? The only person you should be confessing your sins to is God. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, it's not just our sins and faults that we need to confess to God, but we also need to pray and confess the nation's sins as well. As a nation, we need to be getting on our knees and repenting of our sin. Here's the problem. Problem is, see, we could point the finger all we want at our politicians. Now, let me clarify some. Do I think that our politicians are corrupt and are at fault? Yes, a lot of them are corrupt and are at fault. But the other blame should go towards most of the American churches. You know why? Because if they were doing their job in the first place, we wouldn't be in a mess like this. Oh, I don't want to talk about politics. I don't want to get into that. That makes me uncomfortable. Let me tell you something. The church should have a say in politics. By the way, David was a man that followed God. He got into politics. He was king. Right? That can be politics, can't it? You know, and I know, there is one particular man that I know from my home church that his father is a born again Christian, and he's in the Senate. I can't remember. I think it's Senate, but he actually got elected into office, the Arkansas state office. He's a politician. By the way, he's getting a lot of bad press too. Getting a lot of bad press. I'm going to tell you something. When you follow the Lord Jesus Christ and do what he tells you, people are going to hate you. They're going to despise you, and they will think of anything to accuse you of. Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 6. Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 6. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee day and night, for the children of Israel thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. Daniel chapter 9 verse 20. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Let me tell you something. The reason why Daniel received great revelation from God was not because he was some holy and righteous man. He was a sinner. And by the way, he got that revelation because he confessed. He confessed his sins as well as his nation's sins. And that enabled God to reveal him of what would happen in our days. Question is, and by the way, I'm going to tell you something. Sin will separate you from God. And sin will not completely sever, but it will disconnect that communication with God. By the way, here's the good news about that. It can be restored. Just because it might be severed or cut off temporarily does not mean it can't be put together. It can be. But the question is, are you willing to get on your knees and repent of your sin? That's the question. Because when you repent of your sins, you restore that fellowship that you have with God. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. I think a lot of us are very familiar with this verse. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now notice that passage. It says, if my people. It does not talk about the unsaved world. It talks about his people. Amen. Okay? Now the context was Israel. But guess what? It still applies to us in America today. We were founded on this Bible. And by the way, in the 60s, we kicked God out of our schools, and we see God kicked out of our churches. Guess what? Now all the devils have moved in, and now they're feeding off the sins of this land. I'm going to tell you something. The time is coming that if we don't get right as the church, if the church don't get right with God, the nation won't get right with God, and if neither of them will get right with God, we're in for some bumpy rides. We'll put it that way. We're in big trouble. We are in big trouble. And I'm going to tell you something. We have socialism creeping up in our nation today. Now, I know Trump said we would not be a socialist nation. But when you take a look at our universities, when we take a look at the far left Democratic politicians, they've gotten so bad over the years, so bad that they're willing to impeach a president for no reason. They're wanting to have tight gun laws. They're wanting to take away your guns. They're wanting to take your rights away. Beto O'Rourke said that we should just scrap the Constitution. That's wicked. That Constitution rules this land. And by the way, it's because the reason why we have our freedoms is because of the Constitution. So when you have politicians that say we should scrap the Constitution, what they're really saying is we're going to take away your rights. I'm telling you, we're in big trouble. We're in big, big trouble. And by the way, God will allow this nation to be severely judged. He will severely judge this nation if we don't turn around. And I know that's hard, but I'm going to tell you something. We, as the church, needs to start waking up and start preaching. I don't want to hear this nonsense of this prosperity gospel. What that is they'll tell you, give us your money and God will bless you. That's wicked. Okay, tithing is strictly between you and God, no one else. Amen? All right, now the second thing we're going to look at is forsaking our sins. I'm going to kind of go fast here, so just bear with me. John chapter 8, verse 11. Okay, this is the context where the woman was caught in adultery. And Jesus said, who hath without sin may cast the first stone. Okay, this is the dialogue here, okay, after that. Okay, Jesus said, well, where are thine accusers? This is what she said, okay? Verse 11, it says, she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus saith unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Jesus doesn't condemn you. You know why? Because your sin condemns you. Jesus says, go and sin no more. Okay? Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 6. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourself from your idols. That sounds an awful lot like America today, doesn't it? We have idols in our nation. And turn away your face from all your abominations. Listen, we have more than idols. We have abominations. This nation is starting to become an abomination in the sight of God. If you read in Revelation 17 and 18, in Revelation chapter 2, to the church of Thyatira, it talks about Mystery Babylon. You read what's listed there, it sounds an awful lot like America. I'm telling you, this nation is sick. And it needs healing. And only the great physician can heal. See, Trump wants to make America great again. I admire that. We need to be great again. But he's not going to do it alone. We want to make America great again. We need to repent of our sin and turn back to Jesus Christ. It's the only way we're going to make America great again. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 27 through 28. It says again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed and doth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive, because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgression that he hath committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Let me tell you something. We got so many people that are so stiff-necked and hard-hearted, they won't even consider. You point their sin out, they're going to say, get away from me. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear about sin. They don't want to know about hell. They don't want to know that there's a God. They don't want to hear that there's a devil. I'm going to tell you something. The devil is very real. And he's looking to devour and send people to hell with him. This is why we need to confess and forsake. I'm telling you something. I know I might be preaching hard, but here's the thing. I love you guys. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't be preaching hard like this. Okay? Micah chapter 7, verses 18 through 19. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again and he will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities and thou will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Let me tell you something. God is giving you, if there's anything that you might be going through that you're struggling with, let me assure you, God will find a way out. And he's merciful. He's going to give you that space to repent. I'm going to tell you something. We get what we don't deserve. If life was so fair, some people, it really boggles my mind how people say, well, life's not fair. Of course it's not. You want to talk about what's fair? Here's what's fair. All of us without Jesus Christ are sinners on our way to hell. Life isn't fair. The universe ain't fair. Amen. Life is not fair. And we will get what we don't deserve. You know why? Because God is merciful and he's graceful. And he's loving. He's loving. He's just. But he's holy and he's righteous. And he's not going to let sin go unpunished. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. That's a good promise, isn't it? When you repent of your sins, God says, I will remember your sin no more. He cast your sin as far as the east is to the west. By the way, they're opposite directions, by the way. Think about that. That kind of boggles your mind, doesn't it? Isaiah chapter 44, verse 22. It says, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins return on them. Thy sins return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Isaiah 43:25. That's the last one, and we'll close. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sin. Okay. Now I'm going to close with this. I might do an invitation as well. God is a God of love. Okay. He loves you. He died for you. He died for the whole world. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. If there is something that is in your life and God is knocking on your heart, tonight is the night to get that right. If you're not saved today, today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is who he says he is and that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Amen. The question I have for you is there something that you may be struggling with? Is there something that you're just bogged down with? I'm going to tell you something. God desires his people to be free. Ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. And if you're free, you are free indeed. Amen. What I'd like to do now, let's all close our eyes, bow our heads, okay? Close your eyes, bow your heads.